Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
Close to 6 years ago now, Laura and I stood right here, and this was a hay field. And we looked at each other and we said, "Father, if you will allow us to build a house, we promise we'll give it back to you." And I thought that just meant that one day we're going to pack up and move away and sell it, right? But God has allowed us the privilege of having a place where when a virus and our government tells us we can't meet under a roof, that God has provided a way. And I'm just very grateful for that this morning. I was just thinking about that this morning. I got up early and I come out here on the porch and was praying and just looking over my message. And I just said, "God, you know, how good are you that you would give us an opportunity to meet together in this capacity?" And 5 years ago, you knew this day was coming, right? And you knew that we would need a spot, and you are faithful to provide. And I just want to just thank God for that this morning. Listen, I promise if you will listen quickly, I will talk quickly, because I know it's warm, and I know that you guys love Jesus, but you don't love skin cancer. And so I'm going to do my very best to present what God's given to me in a timely fashion. But I do believe that He has been good to us to give us this beautiful weather today to worship Him. We are in the third week of a series that we started called Let Us Pray. How many of you grew up in church? Most of you, yeah. How many of you would say you have an amazing prayer life? Look at y'all humble people. I tell you what, I know that there are some praying folks in this crowd this morning. But I think by you not raising your hand is a good estimation that all of us have some work to do when it comes to prayer, right? And so this morning, we're going to kind of move into something that I think that is one of the most lacking parts of our prayer life. And I want to kind of introduce our point this morning by talking about this. You know, we have three children, three boys, and it is interesting to watch them grow up. Because every one of them, and if you're a parent, you can attest to this, they go through this stage. And it's a very intentional stage. And it's the stage of the why. You know what I mean? Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Why do I have to eat my vegetables? Right? And here's another thing. They have tons of questions, right? And they are never satisfied with "because I said so," are they? They are inquisitive. But here's the word. They are persistent. My middle son, Gray, he's over there. And hey, Gray. Gray is a seeker. And what I mean by that is he wants to know the why, even when there is not a why to know, you know? And he asks and he asks and he asks, and he is not satisfied until he gets an answer. And listen, you parents, let's just be real honest. We know that there are times when we choose to not hear our children sometimes, right? We choose to say, "I didn't hear what you said, buddy. I'm sorry." Right? But Gray doesn't let us get away with that. Gray continues, "Dad, dad, 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 dad," right? Until I go, "What? Why is the sky blue?" "I don't know, son." "Okay." You see, here's my point. He just wants an answer, right? A lot of times it doesn't even matter what the answer is. He just wants to talk to his dad. And he wants his dad to acknowledge him and to commune with him and to talk with him. And I think God in his good wisdom has given us children to show us that is exactly what he desires from us. Last week we began talking about how do we pray. You know, a lot of us have grown up in different religions and we've prayed certain ways. And a lot of us, man, we just struggle because we really don't know how to pray. And so what we did, we turned to Luke chapter 11 last week and we began to look at the one who is the author of prayer. And his name is Jesus, the Son of God, who taught us how to pray. And if you listen to that message last week, here's what you heard. Prayer is not about us. Prayer is not about the request even. It's about what? It's about the relationship with our Father. Because here's what happens, man. When we tune our hearts to Him and we turn our focus away from our needs, away from our request, and we put our eyes on Jesus, sometimes the requests just kind of fade away. You remember that old hymn? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And what happens? And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That is a miracle that happens when we seek God the right way. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to move into the second part of how we pray. And we're going to begin to talk about the persistence that God calls us to ask in prayer. And so I have two objectives this morning. Very simple. First thing I want to talk about, what exactly does it mean to persist in prayer? What does that mean? To be persistent in prayer. And then there are two motivations that we see in this scripture for persistent prayer. There are two specific things Jesus gives us in Luke 11 as to why we should persist in prayer. So if you have your Bibles or your handout, go with me to Luke chapter 11. And you'll have to forgive me because we don't have our screen up here today. And so I've got to read from the Bible, believe it or not. And so we're going to be turning in a lot of different places in the scripture this morning, but I want us to start in Luke chapter 11, and I want us to see how Jesus moves us from how we pray, the structure of our prayer, to why we need to be persistent. So Luke chapter 11, let's start in verse 5. I'm going to read to verse 13. And He, that being Jesus, said, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' Verse 8, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." Jesus goes on to say, "And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." Verse 11, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? And if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more?" Listen, if you got an ink pen, you need to circle that phrase. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So here's what's going on in this passage real quick. There's three sections here in this passage. The first one, and this is very important to understanding the passage today, verses 5 through 8, do not compare God to this neighbor, but they contrast God to this neighbor, okay? Listen, if you look at God like you look at this neighbor, you're not going to understand the persistence of prayer. As a matter of fact, you're going to be turned away from praying persistently if you think God is like this neighbor. Now, what do we see in this neighbor? We see a guy, he comes on, he's got a friend who visits him. And here's the thing, Jewish history, hospitality was huge. You stopped what you were doing to make sure that your friend was welcomed, okay? Now, like today, it was hot in Israel sometimes, and so they would travel at night to avoid the heat. And so as they were traveling, it was late when this neighbor, this friend, comes to his friend's house. And so here's what happened. He knocks on the door, and he says, "I'm here." And the guy's like, "Man, I don't have anything to feed you." And so what does he do? He goes to his neighbor's house to ask him for some bread, right? Now, how many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand necessarily, but how many of you have read that passage and you thought that God was that neighbor who said no? I'll raise my hand. I have. Because how many times have we prayed and God has told us no, right? Or we have prayed and we haven't got the answer that we thought. But the scriptures teach us here that God is not like this neighbor. But here's the point, and why we need to understand this passage. Jesus gives us this passage here to show us the persistence of this man going before his neighbor in order to honor the visitor that had come to his house. All right. So let's talk about persistence for just a minute. What does it mean to persist in prayer? Y'all give me something. What does persistence mean?
Not giving up.
What else? That's pretty much it. But
my husband would say nagging.
Nagging. think that's fair, right? What else? What does it mean to be persistent?
Ongoing,
right? How many of you say, man, I don't take no for an answer, right? You're driven, okay? So I think we understand what it means to be persistent from a worldly perspective. Let me use my kids again, right? They come, they ask a question, I don't acknowledge them. They don't just go do something else, right? They just don't go, well, I guess dad's not, he's busy and goes and does something else. What do? Dad. They pull on your shirt, right? Dad. That's persistence, right? It's not stopping until you receive acknowledgement. Now, here's the biblical definition of persistence. You need to pay attention because it is very, very important. When Jesus uses this word in verse 8, impudence. Some of you have ever heard that word. It's kind of a weird word. Impudence, here's what he's implying. It's this Greek word, anadeia. And here's what it means. It's a compound word of two particles, and here's what it is. Ana, which means anti, or against, or without, and then ados, which is shame, or bashfulness. And so here's what he's saying. When you come before me, like this man went to his neighbor for this food, you are to come not just like an eager child, but like a shameless beggar. How many of you have ever been to New York and seen folks on the street? Or you don't have to go to New York, go to Greensboro or Winston. They always hang out at Haynes Mall right there. You know what I'm talking about right there? It's a big stoplight at Haynes Mall. And what happens, man? You stop at a stoplight and here they come, right? And they're not ashamed. They come and they say, man, do you have anything to spare? Can you spare a dollar? Can you spare $5? Let me ask you this. How many of you are turned off by that? I mean, I wish they'd just leave me alone. Now, let me ask you another question. How many of you have ever given them a dollar just so they'll go away? Persistence, right? Jesus is saying, listen, when you come before me, you have to take the position of a shameless beggar, not from being annoying, but from the standpoint of this. God, if you don't show up, I'm going to die. If you don't show up, if you don't come and meet my need, I will perish. It's this audacity. Have you ever heard that word? It's the audacity to not leave God alone until he answers your prayer. And so here's my question this morning. How many of us really approach God that way? Man, when have you been so in need that you cannot leave God alone over something? Here's what I know. Because as I was studying that, I got a little, I don't know, I wouldn't call it offended, but I was uneasy about that feeling. And here's why. There are two tensions that I think arise when we see that we're to go to God like this shameless beggar in this passage. Here's what they are. The first thing is there's this feeling of uneasiness. I mean, how many of you just feel uneasy about pestering God? I mean, I don't know how you guys grew up, but many of you may have grown up in a home where you didn't have a good relationship with your father. And a good day for you was not getting smacked around for being annoying. Some of you can relate to that. See, a lot of us, man, growing up, our relationship with our dad may have been, man, if I can leave him alone and I don't get on his nerves, then I'm okay. And so we go like this. We go, you know what? I'm just going to spend my time staying as far away from this guy who might get angry at me as possible. And so when you hear God saying, I want you to come to me and pester me, I want you to act like this shameless beggar, we go, I don't know about that. I don't think that that's how I should approach you. But here's what's at the root of that uneasiness. It's a sin. And it's the sin of fear. This morning, do you fear God in an unhealthy way? Not as the holy, sovereign king of the universe, but as the mean daddy who don't want to hear from you. You see, a lot of us have that view of God. He's that neighbor that's going to slam the door in your face. And so, man, why do I even go? Why should I even petition him? He's just going to say no. And folks, that will hinder our prayer life a great deal. You see, persisting in prayer means that we boldly and shamelessly and continually petition God for the things we need with this genuine sense of urgency. That, man, God, if you don't show up, if you don't answer, it ain't going to happen. But many of us are afraid to go to God that way. Let me read something from James chapter 1 that I think will help you with that. James chapter 1, starting in verse 5. The Word of God says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask God. What is that? That's prayer, right? Let him ask God, and here's the key, who gives generously without reproach. What does that word reproach mean? Anybody know? It means to hold in contempt. It means to be angry with. So what is the word saying? God's not angry with you. God is not that mean father who says, just leave me alone. He desires to hear our prayer. But here's what happens. He says, but when we ask, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. Oh, good thing I know it. Kind of. And so there's this feeling of uneasiness in our lack of persistent prayer. But here's the second one. Not only is there an uneasiness, and this one's more detrimental. A lot of times there's an unwillingness in our prayer. What do I mean by that? The other side of it is that we don't feel like we should have to humble ourselves to seek God the way he's calling us to. It's below us. Well, God knows what I need before I even ask him. The Bible says that, right? You've heard that, right? God knows what I need, so why should I spend my time groveling at his feet in prayer? That just means he's just this egotistical, narcissistic guy who just wants me to just beg him for stuff all the time. My prayer is that you don't feel that way, but you might. And so this unwillingness to pray or to persist in prayer is indicative of the sin of pride. Because here's what happens. You make prayer all about you, right? And you say, man, if God is this loving father and he knows what I need, I shouldn't have to constantly bow before him. Well, James gives us another look into that point. And here's what he says. James chapter 4, he says, what's causing these fights and these quarrels among you, right? What is it? And here's what it is. You don't have because you don't what? You don't ask. And here's why you don't ask, or here's why it is. Because when you do ask, you ask with wrong motives to spend it on your own passions. What is that? That's pride. And so our unwillingness to go before God and to humble ourselves and petition him in prayer constantly comes because we don't think we owe that to God. As a matter of fact, we think God owes us something in our prayer. And folks, that's a dangerous, dangerous sin. And if I can make an estimation this morning, and it's kind of bold, but I think it's true, I would say that the majority of the church in America falls into one of these two categories. Either we're so afraid of him that we won't approach him, or we don't think he's holy enough to approach persistently. And what do we have? We have a prayerless church. We have a prayerless group of Christians who wonder why we struggle. who wonder why we don't see God do amazing things. And it's because we're not willing to humble ourselves like that shameless beggar and petition his throne. Here's what I can tell you. God is not angry at you. And God is absolutely worthy of a life committed to seeking him in prayer. And so what is our motivation? I believe that you guys are here today because you truly want to persist in prayer. So what are the two motivations that Jesus gives us in this passage for why we should continually persist in prayer? Here's the first one. We are to pray persistently because we understand the value of God-answered prayer. What do you mean by that? What does it mean to value God-answered prayer? We would be lying if we didn't say we go before God because we need something, right? And so we go before God because we have a prayer need. And so we lift that need up to him and he delays. That ever happened to y'all? We pray and we say, God, this is what I need. And then nothing happens. And so we pray and say, God, this is what I need. And then nothing happens. And sometimes we go, okay, you just must not be interested. And so I go and move on to something else. The problem with that is that we make the prayer need greater than the one that we're praying to. The purpose of prayer is not to have your prayers answered first. That happens, praise God. But the purpose of prayer is for you to connect with your Father on a level that brings him glory. We talked about the hospitality of this guy and his friend. And so here's the thing. It's not always convenient to be hospitable, is it? And so he needs something. This guy needs something from his neighbor. And so he goes to his neighbor. And the reason why he's willing to risk his own reputation before this neighbor, the reason why he's willing to be badmouthed by this neighbor is because the guy that's in his home deserves to be honored. And here's the point here. The point of persistent prayer is that it honors our God. It says, I believe that you are faithful. I believe that you are true and you are just and you will answer in your time. And so I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to shortchange you and move on to other methods, right? Being persistent in prayer says that I am about the honor of my Lord, even above getting my prayer answered. I mean, that's a spiritual place to be. And many of us don't get there because we forget or we give up in prayer too soon. You see, the value of persisting in prayer is that when God does answer finally, there's no mistake that he's the one responsible for it, right? I mean, think about this. Think about if God were to answer your prayer immediately when you pray it. Isn't there the temptation to say, well, you know, I kind of had something to do with that, right? I had some resources that I threw at it. I had some things that I did. And, you know, maybe God isn't the one that's solely responsible for it. But if God gets us to a place where we say, God, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. We're at your mercy. And then he does it. Who gets the glory? Our Father. And so those of us who persist in prayer, we persist because we know that when he does answer, it's going to be for his glory and honor alone. And so, man, we don't lose heart. We keep praying because we desire for him to be lifted up and exalted. And so persisting in prayer slowly rids us of our selfish motives in prayer. You know what I mean? How many of you have said, would say that you've prayed for things that you're thankful God didn't give you? If you know Garth Brooks, you know you love that song, right? I thank God for unanswered prayers. And it's because, listen, we don't always know what to ask for. We don't know what's right. But as we persist in prayer, here's what happens. Our focus on our needs begins to change. And we begin to realize, man, maybe I don't need what I'm praying for. And God shapes our prayer so that we ask for what is glorifying to him and what we truly need. And so persistent prayer rids us of those selfish motives and it turns our heart to the glory of God above the answer to the prayer itself. As we're going to see here in just a minute, God does answer your prayer. But the first thing our desire should be for is for his glory. And so here's the second part. And this is probably my favorite motivation. And then we're done. We persist in prayer because it shows how secure we are in the Father's love. I mentioned earlier that some of you may have grown up with a dad that you didn't have much to do with and you didn't ask for things from, right? You try to leave him alone and he would leave you alone. Maybe you had a good daddy who you didn't mind going to ask things from, who enjoyed talking with you. And so what's the difference between the two? You see, those who have a dad that they don't feel like they can approach, they lack confidence, right? They don't feel like they're worthy of anything. But man, those who had a good relationship with their father, man, they don't have a problem going up and saying, "Dad, I need this from you." And their father is glad to answer it. Jesus gives us his invitation in verse 9. He says, "But I say to you, I'm not like that neighbor. I'm not like that mean daddy. Here's what I say to you. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find it. And then knock, and the door will be open to you." See, there's a progression here. Here's what he's saying. You may ask and not get it right now. Don't quit, because I've got something else I want to show you. And what it is in the seeking. Now, let me ask you a question. Say I needed to borrow a cup of flour. Tyler, say you live next to me. And I call Tyler because I need a cup of flour for my neighbor, right? And Tyler doesn't pick up the phone. What do most of us do? One neighbor doesn't pick up. What do? We call the other neighbor, right? We give up on Tyler because Tyler don't have what we need. But what if Tyler is the only neighbor in a 100-mile radius and we really need this flour? You know what we're probably going to do? We're either going to call again or we're going to go to his house, right? We're going to seek Tyler out because, man, we got something that we need from him. We need something from him. Now, we go to Tyler's house and we see his car in the yard, but the shades are drawn, porch lights off. What do we probably have the tendency to do? Yeah, he's just not home, all right? Or he saw me drive in and he's ignoring me. But if we really need it, and we trust that Tyler's a good neighbor, what are we going to do? We're going to get out of the car and go what? We're going to knock on the door. You know why? Because you can't ignore a knock. You can't say, "Well, I didn't know you was there. Bro, I beat a hole in your door," right? You see, Jesus is saying, listen, sometimes you get what you need when you ask. But sometimes it means that you got to move past asking to seeking. You got to find me. The Bible says that if we seek him, we will what? Find him. But what's the manner of seeking? When we seek him with all our heart. Sometimes it's not just a phone call. Sometimes it's getting in your car and going to find him. And what does that look like? Well, the Bible gives us some indications. It looks like going without some food. It's fasting. He's saying, "God, I choose you over my meal today. I'd rather hear from you than fill my belly." John Calvin said this, "Nothing will show the wickedness of a man's heart more than an empty stomach." You know what that means? Everything's fine when we have what we need. And a lot of times, because we have all we need, we're very casual in our approach to prayer, are we not? "God, I'd love to have this, but if you don't give it, I'm still good. Refrigerator's full, bills are paid, everything's fine." But man, when you get in a dire situation where you need him, it no longer is just a casual asking. It's no longer just to pick up the phone. We're seeking him out. And then he says this, you know what? "But if you really need it, you won't just drive to the house and sit in the car and go, 'Come out and look for me,' or 'Come out and talk to me.'" What do? We're going to get out and we're going to knock. And we're going to keep knocking until he either comes in and looks out the door and says, "Go away," or "What do you need?" Now, here's the point that I want to make here. When we're knocking on God's door and we're saying, "God, there's no embarrassment. There's no shame here. I need you more than anything else to come through." He's going to open the door. And you know what? He's not going to say, "Go away." You know what he's going to say? This is what the Bible says. "My child, welcome. What do you need?" Because when we ask, we receive. When we seek, we find. And when we knock, the door is opened with Jesus. But here's my question for us. How many of us are that secure in our love or in His love for us? How many of us, beyond a shadow of a doubt, know that God loves us that much that He will not turn us away? You see, in verses 11 through 13, he goes on and he compares now a good daddy, as we talked about just a second ago, a good daddy. And he says, you know what? Your daddy knows how to give you what you need. He's not going to give you the wrong thing. But then he says, they're evil compared to me. How much more? If your daddy, if you can count on your earthly father to give you what you need, how much more can you count on me? Church, I ask you this morning, do you believe that? Do you believe it to the point that you're willing to prove it by persisting in prayer? God wants you to be audacious. God wants you to be shameless in petitioning Him for the things that we need. So this security in God's love gives us this boldness to go before Him in confidence and to say, I know you're not going to turn me away. Now, let me tell you a little bit of a journey and we'll be done. Here's a little bit of a journey on what's happened with me the last few weeks in this prayer series. Every morning I get up, I get the Bible and I get my prayer journal and I begin to just kind of ask God, Lord, what do you want to show me today? You ever ask God, what do you want to show me today? The hard thing is sometimes He shows us. And God has shown me that there's some stuff in my life that's messed up. There's sin that I hadn't dealt with. There's things that I've kind of just brushed to the side and said, I'm too busy to deal with it right now, that God has continually put in front of me and said, deal with this, son. Deal with it. And so I've persisted in prayer, and every time I've persisted in prayer, God has brought this thing up to me. And so 2 weeks ago, I was in my bedroom and I just had a breakdown pretty much. And I said, God, I'm sorry. And I began to just say, God, you know what? I don't even know why I'm asking you for this stuff, because I am not worthy of it. I don't know why you would give it to me at all. And it was amazing. It was almost, it wasn't audible, but the Spirit of God just kind of said, now listen, you're going the wrong direction with this thing. You're not worthy. But that's the point of this whole thing, is that I love you anyway. I love you enough to give you what you need, even when you don't feel like you're worthy of it. But you got to ask me. You see, sin causes us to run away from God. We won't persist in prayer if there's sin present in our life that we're unwilling to deal with. But you know what He's told us? If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He led me to a passage of Scripture in Micah chapter 7. I won't read it to you today, but I encourage you to read Micah 7 this week. And He showed me what He has done with my sin and how the door is wide open for me to come to Him in prayer. But do I believe that He loves me enough to do it? You see, it's been my experience that how we pray, listen to me, how we pray is a great indication of how we view the one that we are praying to. So if you're timid in your prayers, if you're weak, if you feel like God is precarious and He's angry with you, you will not persist in prayer. And so here's what I know. Persisting in prayer is not about prayer. Our inability to persist in prayer, listen to me, is about the gospel of Jesus. We don't persist in prayer because we don't believe the reality of the gospel in our life. We don't believe that there is a God in heaven who can be perfect and look at us in our imperfection and not hate us. But that's exactly what the gospel says. That the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. His anger was absorbed on the cross so that you and I can go to him as sinners, humbly, and fully receive everything we ask. Not because we're worthy, but because our Savior, who stands in our place, is worthy. So here's what I want to say to you, and we're done this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, and you have just struggled with prayer because you know that you are not worthy. Here's what I would say. You're right. You're not. But the one who hung and died and bled on a cross for you is worthy. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know what verse 32 says? For he who did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he also not give us everything else? You know what God's saying to you this morning? I gave you Jesus. I gave you my very best so that you can have right standing with me. And the door is wide open through him. Do you trust me? Will you live under the blood of Jesus and confidence enough to come and seek me in prayer, knowing that I'm not angry with you, that I love you as a father loves a child, and I will give you what you need if you keep asking. So maybe this morning, before you begin to persist in prayer, you need to solidify the gospel in your life. Do you believe that what Jesus did is true for you? Have you applied it to your life? And are you proving that you believe it by continuing to go before your God with confidence as a good father? And so here's what I have a challenge for you this week, and we're done. I've said we're done like four times, haven't I? Keeping you hanging on, baby. A lot of you have a lot of things that you've written in your prayer journals, this series of things that you've been seeking God for. And maybe in your prayer, you've asked for those things, but in your heart, you've doubted. You said, God, he's not going to give me that. I don't deserve that. My prayer for you this morning is that you will, tomorrow, when you get up, you will open that prayer journal with a completely new perspective of how God sees you. And that as you bow your head one more time and you say, God, I need this. I don't deserve it. But I believe that what you said about me through the gospel of Jesus is true. And I'm going to hang my life on that. And I'm going to ask you one more time as a good father, to a child that doesn't deserve it, but who loves you, I need this. And watch what happens. I'm going to ask us to do one more thing. God has been good to Pioneer Church. Very good. So good that we've grown. And we're homeless. The school system is not letting us go back in for a while. I don't know how long that might be. And so we don't have a place to worship. We have a need. I'm going to ask us to put our money where our mouth is with this message today. And here's what I'm asking you to do this week. I want you to take at least one day. And if you're able, I'm going to ask you to fast and pray that God will provide a place for us to worship. And here's the thing, man. We got a lot of resources. We got a lot of opportunities. There's some things in the work that we're praying through. But the reality is we can't afford a place, right? We don't have the money, but God does. And so here's what I'm asking you to do. Ask God, Father, provide for your church so that we can gather and do the ministry that you've called us to do. Here's what I know will happen. When God's people pray, God answers. We can say amen to that, but let's prove it by being a people who knocked down the throne of God this week in prayer. And listen, we're not doing it for Pioneer Church. We're not doing it so that we can look at everybody and go, hey, man, look at us, man. We're the cool new kids, man. We want to see God do things for Pioneer Church so that we can turn right around and say, glory to our God, who is worthy of all praise and honor for every good thing that he gives his children. So will you do that with me this week? And let's watch God come through on what he's promised to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, as we've gathered seeking you and asking you, Father, to do what only you can do, Lord, we acknowledge that we are imperfect in our understanding of you. God, we have an enemy who truly desires to steal, kill, and destroy, who does not want to see you work. But Father, this morning, my prayer for us is as we have looked at your word and we've seen the words of Jesus, and he has boldly told us that there's no need to fear. God, you are better, and you love us infinitely more than the best father we could ever imagine. And you delight in the prayers of your people. God, will we not choose to turn away from that and say, well, that's for everybody but me. But God, this morning, would we look at that passage of Scripture and say, God, I choose to believe that for me today. And Lord, I am not worthy to stand before you on my own. I am a sinner. But I believe that what Jesus did on the cross for me was more than enough to cover me and cleanse me of my sin and make me acceptable before you, Father. And so I'm going to go on that, and I'm going to trust his gospel. And I'm going to boldly knock at your throne. And I'm going to ask. And if you don't answer, I'm going to seek. Lord, if I can't find you, or if I do come to you and you don't come meet me, I'm going to knock until you open the door and say, I'm here. What do you need? God, may we be those people. May we be that church who are unwilling to settle for anything but an answer from you. And so, Father, I pray in faith this morning that, God, as we do that, as we ask and seek and knock, as we stand securely in your love for us, that we will boldly make our petitions before you. And as you answer, God, as you transform lives, as you save marriages, as you save souls, as you provide a place for your church, Lord, we'll be very quick to give all the praise and honor back to you, Father. Because, Lord, we know that you alone are worthy. So, Father, may we stand here in just a minute and declare that in song, and then go out and live it for your glory and honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.